Hi, this is Frank Todaro, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. In an attempt to adjust the volume, hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. And joining me for the second time, it's been about 2 years or so since this person has been on the show. He did a podcast approach back in 2021. We are here to talk about all things Metal Gear Solid. Because, honestly, anything before Solid sucks. It is none other than Mr. Mike Laidman of Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, Burnt Popcorn, Shows That Need to Return, folks. Let's get it going.
Well, has it really been 2 years? Crazy.
Since we did the podcast approach, you were episode 32, December 24th, 2021.
Time flies, I gotta say. But also, there is some value to the before Metal Gear Solid, but it's
no, there is not.
it's few and far between. You don't do yourself any disservice by starting at Metal Gear Solid. We'll say that.
I mean, I knew of Metal Gear, but I was always more of a, like, back in the NES days and things like that. It was like Metal Gear or Contra. Contra was so much better than Metal Gear ever had.
The funny thing was, is, like, there's actually, like, an unofficial Metal Gear sequel that I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, the Snake's Revenge. You know Snake's Revenge?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yes.
So Snake's Revenge, I played on NES without knowing that Snake's Revenge was a sequel to Metal Gear. I had never played Metal Gear. I had only played Snake's Revenge. And eventually, when I started playing Metal Gear Solid, after some time, I found out that it actually was a sequel, so to speak, to Snake's Revenge. Like, I thought it was an actual sequel to Snake's Revenge. And I remember talking specifically with the friend who I played Snake's Revenge with at the time, being like, this is a sequel to Snake's Revenge. Did you know that? And they were like, what? You're crazy. And then it turns out it's not actually Snake's Revenge is not canon, but whatever. It was very interesting to find out. I had no idea. And a lot of people didn't know that Metal Gear Solid was actually a sequel to something because there was no number in the title. And Metal Gear wasn't as big as it is in the zeitgeist now. So,
yeah, well, 5 years. Oh, man. Back in the days, and I'm going to get your thoughts on this since it's more of a hot button topic as we're recording this, but gamers are revolting against gaming companies saying, we're not going to pre-order anything unless you give us demos first because we don't want all these bugs.
Well, that's, I mean, you know what? It's funny because this is a perfect example of a game I never would have given a second thought without a demo. I specifically remember it was an issue of the official PlayStation magazine. I'm pretty sure that the only reason I bought it was because there was a naked Lara Croft on the cover of the issue. And I grabbed it, and sure enough, there was a demo for Metal Gear Solid on the demo disc. And just to kind of give you an idea of how early it was in the process, the demo disc itself, because the actors weren't, it was originally not going to be a union project, they all used pseudonyms. And I distinctly remember on the demo disc, all the characters had pseudonyms. And it was, instead of it being Solid Snake David Hayter, it was Solid Snake Sean Barker. And Sean Barker was actually the name of the character that David Hayter plays in Guyver. So it was kind of funny about that. And there's a few other names that I can remember, too. It's really funny. I remember the pseudonyms. That's how often, that gives you an idea of how many times I played that demo, is I can remember the pseudonyms that the character, that the actors used in the demo. Liquid Snake, Cam Clark, was James Flinders, I remember as well.
Yeah, I remember having the demo disc. I don't remember the fake names for the demo disc, but it took me a while to realize, oh wait, Liquid Snake is also freaking Leonardo from the 87. I'm like, wait a minute, how do you go from being a good guy to that much of a bad guy? Yikes.
It's called range. That's how you do it.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, obviously. 100%. But yeah, 1998, I had just, like, the last Nintendo system I had was Super. I skipped 64 because 64 and disabled people just did not work with having to play the video games one-handed. Right. I ain't touching that damn Z button. I mean, if a game was nothing but the Z button, fine. But anything else is like, nope, sorry. Mm-hmm. So I skipped 64, and then Sony was like, hey, guess what? There's this thing. And I'm like, ooh. And my buddy Mark, who used to be a house parent, a social worker at one of the group homes I was at, he had gotten the demo, and then he had bought the game because we had a PS1 or a PlayStation, as it was called back then, at the group home, and he was the third shift guy that would always come in, and we would always watch him play the demo and then the full game. And man, I got into this game. I love the first game. It's so good. I can just watch playthroughs of MGS over and over and over again.
Well, that's the thing, like, because that's one of the main reasons why Metal Gear Solid is so revered, was because it was the first time you played a game. It was like, look at the cinematic experience. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I used to sit, because I, after you beat the game, there's a demo theater viewer option that opens up, and you can just watch the game like a movie. And I would do that all the time. Like, instead of throwing on a movie that you'd like, I would just throw on the Metal Gear Solid demos and watch the game. And it was something that was just, you just didn't see it. Like, there were other games that had stories and cinematics and things like that, but nothing to this degree. And that's like what really jumped out to me in the beginning when I first started playing it.
100%. Because it's the characters, it's the music, it's the events, it's this alternate timeline of 2005.
Yes, yes, the future of 2005.
yes, the future. And I know you know this, because I know we're also fans of this other franchise that a little known something happened in the fictional universe of 2005. The giant robots and all. I'm like, the year is 2000. Yeah, the year is 2005. Transforming Metal Gear. You damn right it is. But yeah, so it was the fictional world of 2005, and it was the Shadow Moses incident, and it was just, it felt like it's third person, but it's also, at least in the first, I think the other games do it as well. I know the first two do the whole, oh, you want to have first person with your gun? You can do that now, because by the second game, which we'll talk about in a little while, it also did that thing. But like, that the game mechanics of the original Metal Gear Solid were so cool and so interesting. And so the crawling around and the first person of the crawling around, going from third person to first person, the whole, and I'm sure I'll put the sound effect in here multiple times, because we all know and love that exclamation point. It's like, you can't, if you don't sneak by those guards the right way, you're just going to get caught immediately. The music change, the production of this game, Kojima and his team did such an amazing job, from sound effects to music. Like, you have the traditional overture of Metal Gear Solid, and then you have the enemy infiltration music, and it just like switches on a. It's just so damn good, and it's so immersive, and it's so fun. 25 years later, and everything it has accomplished since then. I mean, it is its own franchise now, with multiple games spanning an entire storyline from 1964 to 2018. And luckily, they stop at 2018. Because Survive doesn't exist.
I've never. You know what's funny? You say that. I've never played it. I never gave it a shot.
Just, I won't even watch it.
Nope. Yeah.
No interest whatsoever. Just. But, yeah, I cannot believe, man, 25 years.
Yeah, well, it's crazy because, like, back in the day, like, you'd get a game and there would be, like, one real mechanic to it. You know, like, this is the game where you run and you shoot. Or this is the game where you have a sword and you slash. And the amount of things that you could do and just, like, the way that things worked, like you could just do silly things and see what the response would be. And it would be like you could experiment and things would happen. Like a perfect example is, I mean, sure, in the storyline you get the bottle of ketchup and you can use it to escape by pretending that you've been knifed. Well, you can use that later with that if you don't use it at this point. Like it's and just like other things, like when you're in the cave and you punch Meryl and then you hide in the cardboard box, the wolves pee on the box, and then you don't have to get attacked by wolves anymore. You can hide in the box and the box smells like wolves and the wolves leave you alone. Like, where does, like, obviously this all comes from like Hideo Kojima's crazy brain, but like where else was there anything like that? Like to kind of give a perspective around the time frame that Metal Gear Solid came out, is my favorite game that I had been playing at the time was Resident Evil 2. And I was in love with Resident Evil 2, and then Metal Gear Solid came out. And in Resident Evil 2, you run, you shoot at zombies, you solve puzzles, and that's it. That's all you do in that game. And there were so many things to do in Metal Gear Solid, and that was like just something that I just absolutely loved. It was just like this playground. Like as much as open world games came later, this was like having that feeling much sooner, like, because it was this base where guards were walking around and you could just do whatever you wanted to exploit them and like leave little traps for them. And like I'm sure you at some point in time put on the stealth camouflage and would just punch guys
100%.
Like and they'd be like, yeah, and they'd be like, "What's happening?" And it was just like, "Ha ha! You can't see me!" And you just run around or you would turn off the camouflage right in front of a guard for like a split second, just to see how he reacted, and then like run away and all sorts. Like just the amount of stuff that you could do. Like there was things I was finding out later that I had no idea. Like. Using the cardboard boxes to get from base to base. I didn't know that. I found that out in a magazine like a year later after I'd been playing the game forever. I had no idea that you could use the cardboard boxes to move from parts of the base quickly. And then what was another thing that was just like, oh yeah, this is something you can do that was, sorry, I have a cat here and it's distracting me and it's amazing. It's making me lose what I was thinking, my train of thought. But
which cat?
You know, just, yeah, thanks, cat.
Yeah. Which cat? But, which cat?
It's Wendy. Wendy is one of our newer cats. Yeah. She's my little goblin princess. She's got the saddest face of a cat, and she's very cute. But, yeah. But anyway, yeah, Metal Gear is a sandbox. And there we go. That was the point that I was trying to make. I had something else that I was leading to and got completely distracted by a cat. So.
Yeah, and you're absolutely 100% right. It's open world, but in a different way. It's not open world the way GTA San Andreas or GTA 4 or GTA 5 is. It's open world in the sense of you start at a point and you get to another point. Everything you do in between those two points, you can pretty much do anything you want.
Yeah, like there's a few moments where you specifically have to do A to get to B. But for the most part, it's very open-ended. Like, you just, how you want to approach it, it's all entirely up to you. Do you want to go through guns blazing and alert every guy in the base? You can do that. Do you want to sneak through using the stealth camouflage and not be seen at all? You can do that too. Do you want to use the cardboard box and hide in the corner constantly? You can do that too. Like, there's just so many little options of what you can do.
Reminds me now of all of the one Morales and two for Spider-Man with the web takedowns when you're up top and you do web ups and like the whole, because was Metal Gear Solid was advertised as tactical stealth espionage. It was like, yeah, you can, well, like you just said, you can run and gun it and have everybody catch you, but it's more fun to catch them off guard and sneak through the entire mission.
Yeah.
See if you could actually do it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because, like, the more the series has gone on, it's really, I aim, because obviously the second one introduces the tranquilizer gun, and I kind of, since that happened, try to kill as little as possible. if I can put people to sleep and sneak by them, like, I will do that. And it's even the same in, like, all the way up to Metal Gear Solid 5. If I could get away with not killing anybody, I would. But if it got to the point where, like, you know, oh, there's like 50 guys and I have no choice because I only have a machine gun, then, you know, I'll start gunning people down. But yeah, you had the option. You didn't have to kill a single guy, and they gave you rewards if you did that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that tranquilizer gun was very interesting. Again, they have to up their game from the first one to the second one. What are we going to do? And, you know, they, like, I remember the advertisements and the demo for the second game. Like, look at all the new game mechanics. Look at all the first-person shooter. Look, you can be in the galley in this part of the ship, and you can shoot all the bottles, and all the effects are real. And, you know, all the reaction to being, having a glass bottle being shot. It's like, holy crap, this is really happening.
Yeah. Oh, I remember what I was building to before the cat distracted me. It was a sense of there was things you just didn't discover until later, and you could talk to your friends and they would tell you, like, oh no, didn't you do this? And it was the Psycho Mantis fight.
Yep.
And in the Psycho Mantis fight, I knew that you could change controller ports to beat Psycho Mantis, but I found out much later, in, I think it was a magazine, probably, maybe even early internet, that he would move your controller with your mind. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? And then I looked into it, and it was like, oh yeah, if you have the vibrating dual shock controller, that's what he will do. And I didn't have one of those. I had the original controller with no sticks. I just happened to buy the model of PlayStation before they released that. Like, they'd done a whole bunch of bundles, and I bought the bundle before they did the dual shock controller. Lucky me. But but I bought a DualShock controller specifically so that I could experience the final Psycho Mantis doing the moving your controller with his mind, and I didn't have any of the games that he would read off your memory card, because remember, he would be like, oh, you like Castlevania and stuff.
He
would comment on the fact that I had Silent Hill. And he would say that you like Konami games, but other than that, he wouldn't, like, he didn't say, I didn't have Symphony of the Night. I wish I had Symphony of the Night. But that, I forget what else. It was like Suikoden or something like that. He would also comment on, but yeah. Yeah, specifically bought the DualShock controller so I could experience the Psycho Mantis controller shake.
Yeah, that was, I always had that version. I never had the non-DualShock version because it was like, holy crap, he's moving my controller with his... How that... And again, genius.
Mm-hmm.
You know, brand new video game system, pretty much. And you're taking advantage of every part of the game system offers to use, and it's basically using it against you. It's like, you got to figure this out. You better put your controller into the other port, or else you ain't going to be able to beat this idiot.
Mm-hmm.
We would sit for hours at night with the night a social worker, we would just, the weekends and stuff when he would work and we didn't have to go to school, we would just either watch him play it or he would let us play it and we would experience, oh man. As soon as we got to that Psycho Mantis fight, it was like, oh god, okay, who wants to fight this idiot now? It was before we found out the secret of what you're supposed to do. And yeah, it, again, very, very fun. Very fun game, as it should be. I, you know, it's so fun that it's lasted 25 years. It's gotten so many, I'm going to say offshoots, because there really is, like, yes, Metal Gear Solid is the first game, and Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty is the second game, but with the way that Kojima played with the timeline of it, it starts in 64 and goes all the way up to 2018, which means that Solid isn't technically the first game.
Yeah, in the chronology, but like yeah. In the sense of
oh, in the sense the release of, order. Of yeah, the release yeah. order, yeah. But in the chronology mm-hmm. of the games, it's like oh, right. And I was never I skipped Snake Eater completely. Skipped
really?
It. Yep.
Have you never played Snake Eater?
No, never had any. I take that back. I did. I played it for like half a second, and I tried to figure out all the camouflage stuff, and I'm just like, this is boring. I want the old Metal Gear back. I don't want to be in the damn jungle. I don't want to have to wear seven different... wasn't my thing.
You're missing out. You're missing out. Snake Eater to this day is my favorite video game of all time.
What?
Yep.
Okay, my brain is on the floor just melting, folks, because damn. Really?
Yeah.
All time, everything, like... Above everything else, Snake Eater? Really?
Yeah? What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Yeah, I get it. It's the story of Big Boss and whatever else, but... I don't know. The setting is not what I wanted it to be. I get why the setting is what the setting is, but it's just mm-hmm. not... The environment isn't... This is like... I don't know. I always prefer futuristic stuff to goals, I guess.
Well, the story is wonderful. The game is incredibly fun. And I think what I like most about it is it's relatively self-contained. Yeah. As much as, and it's always the one I always recommend. Like if people are like, oh, I only ever want to play one game. Well, then I recommend this one because there's so, as much as it's like, oh yeah, it is connected to the other games. It's not connected in the sense of like, you don't need to have played 2 to understand 3, you know? Like, there's stuff that happens in 4 that unless you've played 2 and 3 and 1, you have no idea what is going on. Like, it's absolutely just... The thing about 4 is it's very much like, oh, yeah, you already know. This is the fourth one. Like, you're in... We just assume that you know what's going on. And they don't really tell you, like, anything that's going on. But 3 just is its own thing. And, yes, there is stuff that is connected to the other games, but you don't need to know that stuff to enjoy 3, which is... I can understand how you wouldn't want to be into it. I've tried to get my wife to play it because, like... Again, it's my favorite game, and she's like, "Well, I want to know what it's like." And she played the HD edition when it came out on PS3, and she couldn't make it through the first cutscene.
Pretty much, I agree with her.
Yeah, because the opening of the game, there's like, I mean, at this point, Metal Gear for me is old hat. I know what to expect. She has never played a Metal Gear game. And the game starts with like 15 minutes of cutscenes. And she's like, why aren't I playing this game? I don't care. And that was it. That was all. I'm like, you can skip the cutscenes. And she's like, well, then what's the point? And that was it. She never tried again. But
the funny thing is the cutscenes in the original, the reason why we're here tonight, the 25th anniversary mm-hmm. of the original game, the cutscenes were so good. I'm not saying the cutscenes in Snake Eater are bad, mm-hmm. but like the cutscenes added so much, just like everything else in the original game, it just added so much more. And I think as they probably went on, they're like, how can we improve upon this? How can we improve upon this? I've never played Guns of the Patriots. I've only watched playthroughs of it because by that time, PS3, PS4, whatever, whenever it upgraded to whatever it is, and it's like, yeah, no, I'm out of it. As soon as these gaming companies started making controllers that are too big for my single, because you know this, and most of the audience knows this, I was born with cerebral palsy. I play video games one-handed. I'm lucky I was able to play with a DualShock controller mm-hmm. back in the day, but man, you take that original Xbox controller, it's like three times this. Like, I can't get my hand on my finger on the D-pad and my thumb on the button. Like, just give me a D-pad, an A, B, Y, and maybe a Y and an X, and I'm good. Everything else is too much. Mm-hmm. So I've seen playthroughs of Guns of the Patriots, and that, like you said, like, they could have stopped there if they wanted to.
Well, that was the intention, was they were going to stop there.
Yeah, and then we have Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance, which isn't bad for a Raiden story.
Except it completely destroys his arc from. I mean, I'm not poo pooing on Rising. I enjoy Rising, but it completely poo poos on his arc from 4. His entire thing in 4 is like, don't. You know, you don't need to be a gun. And then, it's like the Iron Giant, right? Like, Iron Giant's like, I'm not a gun. And then every other appearance of the Iron Giant since is he's a gun. Like, when he shows up in Ready Player One, what does he do? He shoots at people. You know, that's what they did to Raiden in Metal Gear Rising, which is fine. Rising is its own thing, and it's entertaining. But, they completely, like, exploded his arc. Anyway, never mind. Let's go back to Metal Gear Solid, but...
And every boss battle was so different.
Mm-hmm.
You had the mystery of the DARPA chief along with the whole Psycho Mantis thing. Oh, that's Psycho Mantis disguised as what's his name?
Decoy Octopus.
Octopus, yes. Yeah, that's true.
And that absolutely blew my mind when that revelation first came out for the first time. Couldn't believe it. What a bait and switch that had been.
There's even a bigger bait and switch in the original game, too. Which begs the question, and I think they explain this, and you'll have to remind me because it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. But we have Colonel Campbell, we have Snake, we have Solid Snake, Liquid Snake. We have Mei Ling, we have Dr. Naomi Hunter, we have all the other characters, and then we have Master Miller. And mm-hmm. Master Miller is supposed to be his, like, mentor from the past or whatever else. Well, gentlemen, it's a fix. The fix is in the whole goddamn time. Liquid's been spying on them because it ain't fucking Master Miller. It's fucking Liquid in disguise. It's like, yes. Oh my god, really? Did Master Miller ever show up anywhere, or is he just dead?
No, he does show up in other games. He is especially Peace Walker and Metal Gear Solid 5. He's very instrumental in those games as well. But I can't remember. I don't believe he's in 2, which is the one before it. I can't. Yeah, my memory's foggy on what Metal Gear and Metal Gear or Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear, Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake. They are the only Metal Gear games I've never finished. Survive I've never played. That's different. But Metal Gear games I started and never finished. Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2. So it's possible he shows up because he's a character that's known in Metal Gear Solid. I know Roy Campbell for sure. Roy Campbell for sure is in, he's your commanding officer and all that stuff. But I don't remember Miller being in actually Metal Gear 2. But.
Yeah. But that was like another one of those, hey, guess what? We got you moments. Because, whoops.
The funny thing was, is that one was less of a gotcha moment for me because it was the same voice actor as Liquid, and he was a little more obvious. Although hilariously, like at the same time, the DARPA chief was the same voice actor as the Cyborg Ninja. So You know, who knows?
Yeah, right? Very true. Oh man, that ninja though, Gray Fox. Oh boy, what a part of the story that was.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, yes, Miller he's a codec friend in Metal Gear 2. There you go.
Oh yes, that is right. Okay, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah.
I don't think I actually made. It's been a while since I played Metal Gear 2, and it's, as I said, one I've never finished. So it's not like I know that one as well as I know the other games in the series, which I've played multiple times. But
yeah, absolutely, and it's yeah. Yeah, because they never really, like I said, never really kind of explain it. But they, I guess they do. I guess saying he's a codec friend is some explanation.
Yeah, well, he was a foxhound commander, like boot camp guy, and he helped mm-hmm. train the guys. He helped train the guys. That's great English. He helped train the soldiers, and so that's where he comes from. And he just gives you all sorts of tips about Alaska.
Yes, he does.
And animals. So
yeah, 100%. Of course, he's doing that because it's not really him.
Of course, he's trying to
fake you out.
Did you like my sunglasses?
Okay, what a personality on how the personalities between Solid and Liquid are so dead. Oh man, like Liquid's very over the top, and Solid is not. Like he's like wants to stay under the radar.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Well, he's a bitter old 30-year-old who just wants to retire and mush dogs.
I remember those years about 10 years ago.
Being a bitter old 30-year-old? I'm a bitter old 30-year-old right now. I mean, I'm late 30s, but...
Oh, so you're about to become a bitter old 40-year-old.
Yeah, that's the thing I love, because they're like, oh yeah, Snake is around 30-something. And I used to think that he was like 35 in my head when I was a kid, and I was like, man, 35 would be so cool. And it's like, oh yeah, I was 35, and like my back gives out all the time. You know, like, that's so cool. I did not age as well as Solid Snake did into my 30s.
I mean, you know, he's got the fox dye thing, and he's got everything else inside of him, and somehow Naomi messed with it to only didn't affect him, but it affected everybody else, whatever else. What surprised me with the first game was, this is 1998, maybe it was like right as it was ending, I think. Dr. Naomi Hunter is a voice that I fell in love with 5 years ago or 4 years ago when I was 14, when she was the voice of Black Cat in Spider-Man, the animated series. And it's Jennifer freaking Hale.
Yes, yes. And David Hayter was in the same show. He was Captain America on Spider-Man.
That's right, he was. I don't forget about the The Six Forgotten Warriors, ha ha ha. I don't forget about that, but I always forget that he was that voice. That's amazing.
That's kind of awesome. Like, I feel like that's how they knew each other, was from them doing stuff like that together. Like, because she got him the job on Metal Gear. Like, she was the one who suggested that he be the one who auditioned for it, so... Yeah, that would have been after Spider-Man, so maybe we owe Metal Gear to Spider-Man.
Hey, I'm perfectly fine paying that debt because that was awesome. I mean, I know there are some people out there who don't like the 94 Spider-Man, but that's their problem, not ours, because that show was awesome, regardless of how much red is in the coloring. Some people say the red is oversaturated in his suit, and it, whatever. I don't care. It was fine for the time. I mean, you know, it wasn't for another 3 or 4 years before they started complaining about black leather suits and wanting blue spandex in X-Men.
My only complaint about the Spider-Man animated series was how they changed how the X-Men looked in that show.
Yeah, that was a little rough. Yeah,
it was like, why would you bring them in but not put them on model? Like, I mean, obviously, uh-huh. At the time, I didn't know what on model meant, but you know, it was just kind of like they look different. Meh. Anyway.
There's another video game we could talk about at some point or another. Spider-Man and the X-Men. Holy crap. Talk about an old game. Oh, wow, that game. Oh, boy. But yes, Metal Gear Solid, 25 years. How often do you go back and play it?
I used to do it a lot more. Like, it's really funny because Metal Gear is, I would say, probably the first game I ever bought more than once.
Right.
And it really boiled down to, like, at the first time, it was, I bought a second copy because someone I lent it to, and this is why I don't lend video games anymore, is someone I know, I lent it to him, and he was playing on the hardest difficulty, and he could not beat Liquid Snake. And in his anger, like, you know how you throw a controller sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
And things like that. In his anger, he took the disc out of the system, like just slapped the open, pulled the disc out, bit the disc, and then threw it out the window and let it sit in a snowbank overnight. And then he gave me the game back like nothing had happened. And I was like, wait a minute, there's very clearly a scratch on here. And he was just like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know what you're talking about. And then eventually I made him give me money so that I can rebuy it. But I bought that I bought it again, so that was the first time I bought a game again. But then as time went on, I was such a fan of Metal Gear, it was like, oh, here it is again, and I would get it over and over again. So I had the PS3 copy of it, so I was able to play it on PlayStation Vita. I played it, I have a copy of it, technically a copy of it, on the PlayStation Classic. I bought the PlayStation Classic. It's funny, the version on the PlayStation Classic is not the, like, there's like a version 1 and a version 1.1, and depending on when the game, like when your copy was produced, you had one version or the other, and for whatever reason 1.1 is better than 1, and the PlayStation Classic has 1 on it, and I actually hacked my Vita or my PlayStation Classic so that I could replace the 1 on and put 1.1 on instead. So I have the better version on there. I have a Steam Deck. I have it on my Steam Deck as well, and I play it off that. If you're gonna play it emulated, I would play it on Duck Station. It's they do a really fantastic job bringing that out into 4K. I do not own the Master Collection version. I thought that would be a no-brainer purchase, but I've heard it's got a lot of bugs, so I'm actually waiting on getting that one.
Is that the new one with all of them?
It's 1, 2, and 3, Metal Gear, Metal Gear 2, and actually Snake's Revenge, which is kind of funny that it's on there. But yeah, it's the first 3 and then all of the old 8-bit games. It is called Volume 1 for a reason. So the assumption is that the Volume 2 will have 4 or 5 Peace Walker and maybe something else on it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are like, yeah, these aren't really great updates to this, like, we were expecting more kind of thing.
Yeah, like the 2 and 3 versions are literally just the versions from the HD collection, not even done, like they didn't do anything with them. They even say HD collection on the start screen and things like that, and yeah, so there's still 720p on 4K consoles. There's a lot of questionable things, like Metal Gear Solid is in a wrapper, like an emulator wrapper, that it's 240p still. Like, come on. Like, if I could play it on my Steam Deck with Duck Station in 4K there's no reason that you can't release a better version of that game on a modern day consoles. I mean, the Switch can't run Metal Gear 2 at 30 frames a or at 60 frames a second, and the PlayStation 2 could. How is the Switch version inferior to the PlayStation 2 version? You know, like, just things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But really, who wants to play Metal Gear Solid on a Switch? That's not...
It just seems weird, right?
And yeah, Nintendo and violent video games don't really go together. Nintendo and donkeys and Kongs and Mario and mushrooms. That's what Nintendo is.
Although hilarious, the original remake of of the Twin Snakes Metal Gear Solid 1 remake is on a Nintendo console. It's on the GameCube, where it has been trapped forever, and people are hoping that it will appear in the Master Collection Volume 2. And I would not hold my breath.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, I was excited to see what, like, if you were going to get that, and because I know you're the Metal Gear, out of all the people I know outside of myself, I can probably talk about Metal Gear for hours on end, but I was excited to see if you were going to get it, and then I started reading all these articles and seeing all these things and whatever else, and I'm like, oh, it's not really that great. He's probably going to skip it, because if it ain't that great, then what's the point in wasting the money?
You know, though, I'm such a pardon the term, a whore for Metal Gear stuff. Like, as I said, Metal Gear Solid 3 is my favorite game of all time. I own 7 ways to play that game, like 7 different copies of that game. I own the original PlayStation 3 version. I own the Subsistence re-release. I own the Subsistence special edition. I own the HD collection version. I own the Legacy collection edition, which is literally just the HD collection in a different package. I own the PlayStation, the HD collection version on PlayStation Vita. And I guess it's 6 times. 6 times. Either way, it's more times than I need to own that game. But there you go. Like, I'm very likely going to buy it at some point. I just didn't want to buy it at full price with the issues.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. All right. So, from the original game, and you can also mention the other ones as well if you want. Do you have a favorite special effect from the original?
Favorite special effect?
Yeah. Or it's an ability, a gun effect, or the way it looks, or, you know, that kind of thing.
I'll go with special effect. I remember when the ninja shows up for the very first time, and the way that they handle those cutscenes and the movement where he's like got this like ghosting effect on him, and like just that stuff kind of blew my mind at the time. And it's really funny, actually, to see how they do that kind of stuff. Like, something that's more rare and not as commonly known about is the document of Metal Gear Solid 2. You ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. I've heard about it. So, I don't know if I've seen it, but
I own a copy of the document of Metal Gear Solid 2, and it's literally a behind the scenes documentary on Metal Gear Solid 2. I've never seen a copy of it in the wild outside of the copy that I bought. Like, I bought it the day it came out. And one of the things that they have in it is you can actually watch every cutscene from Metal Gear Solid 2 in real time. And, like, there's no audio, there's no music. It's literally just the cutscenes. And right. You can move the camera around and zoom in and zoom out. And, like, it's crazy seeing how the sausage is made. Like, There's literally stuff like you can go through, say you're on the tanker, right? And there's like Snake and he's standing there and everything's wet and there's reflections and blah, 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 blah. If you move the camera down below the floor, you can just see that there are all the reflections are just the same models mirrored or with lower polygon counts, you know, like things like that. And there are sections where you're watching. You can zoom in on a character's face during a cutscene, and like when Solid a Snake is in the Harrier, and it'll be a cutscene with him in the Harrier talking, and if you keep the camera on him, when the camera switches to back to Raiden, the model of Solid a Snake in the jet switches from his like high res model to something with even less polygons than Metal Gear Solid 1 Snake. He's just like this absolute, like it's just a, literally the block inside with like a bearded texture on it inside. Wow. And it's crazy to see like, oh yeah, this is how they made all of those things. Like this is how they were able to save on bandwidth, you know, like they, oh, we want a crazy cutscene with like lots of effects. Well, you know, well, this guy's not in focus, so let's use a low res model of him here to be able to do that stuff. And I'm sure that's the kind of trickery they pulled off in all the games to make that stuff happen. But it's crazy to see that stuff. Really neat. If you can ever track down a copy of it, I feel like it's expensive. I might be wrong. I don't sell my games, and I don't try to not buy games for very expensive prices. So.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's got to be, I mean, pretty much any of the cutscenes from the original two games, they were also, and the second game, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, like, it upped everything that the first game had. Like, that whole scene in the beginning with the stealth camo, oh man, can you imagine? I would have loved to use that all the time in the second game. That would have been so cool.
Well, just, you know, after you get enough dog tags, you can use the stealth camo whenever you want.
True. But just the way they did that, and then how they did, like, the story in Guns of the Patriots, but then they mix in all of the flashback. I'm like, oh, like, I just want to watch that section over and over and over again of Guns of the Patriots. Like, just, let's go back to Shadow Moses, shall we? I'm like, oh, you bastards.
Oh, God, that was such a moment when they went back.
Yes, it was.
When you go over that hill and the music kicks in and, oh, yeah, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And the music for this game, for the original 25-year-old game, it's so good. The music, the sound effects, everything. It's a masterpiece.
I mean, that codec sound effect is iconic. Like, I was taking my kid to school, and I was standing there waiting, and I heard the codec call go off because somebody, one of the other parents, had it as a ringtone.
I use the exclamation sound effect as my text, as my notification sound.
I did that for a while, and I think it was just annoying to everyone around me, and I'm like, all right, I'll change it. Same with the codec, because it was, I had it so that it would ring twice, so if I was ever having a conversation, it was just going constantly and bugging people.
Yeah, no, I use that for the longest time now, and before that, it was just the traditional Mario coin sound. I used to use that as all my notification sounds. And whenever it isn't one of those sounds, it's like, who the hell's trying to get a hold of me on my phone? Like, don't do that. Like, I literally have to, if I haven't already changed, like, any of the text, any of the chat messages in Facebook Messenger that I have set up, if I haven't already changed you to be the Metal Gear exclamation point alert sound, you're going to get changed as soon as you message me, because can't deal with any other unknown sounds. At least I know that sound.
Default messaging noises. What are you talking about?
I know, right? How dare they? Favorite characters? I mean, obviously Solid Snake, but others? Any major favorite characters that you have?
Yeah, Solid Snake, like you said, like, there was number one, Gray Fox. I was obsessed with Gray Fox. I said that, because my wife has a lot of tattoos and I have no tattoos, and she's like, couldn't you get a Metal Gear tattoo? And I'm like, if I got a Metal Gear tattoo, it would be my entire arm to look like the Metal Gear Solid Ninja. That would be like Gray Fox's arm. But yeah, Gray Fox, the cyborg ninja, amazing character.
Stealth camouflage, who are you?
Where is my friend?
What are you talking about? Oh, what next?
Snake.
You're that ninja.
I've been waiting for you, Snake.
Who are you?
Neither enemy nor friend. I am back from a world where such words are meaningless. I've removed all obstacles. Now you and I will battle to the death.
What do you want?
I've waited a long time for this day. Now I want to enjoy the moment.
What's with these guys? It's like one of my Japanese animes.
I really enjoyed when you could when you played out on the third go around where Snake was in a tuxedo and the ninja was in Spider-Man colors.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a fun bit. I mean, like, all of the characters in that first game are iconic. Everyone. Like, there's no wasted characters in that game. Maybe Natasha. Everybody else is, like, if you're talking to them in person, they're fantastic. You know, like, everybody, like, even Naomi. You never see Naomi outside of the codex screen. Mei Ling, just another iconic character from the series. Again, Natasha's the only one that nobody really cares about. But like, Colonel Campbell and Psycho Mantis, Vulcan Raven, Liquid Snake, or Ocelot, Meryl, all Otacon, all amazing characters. Sniper Wolf, I can't stop. They're all great.
All great. Oh, I remember Natasha now. She was okay.
She was the Russian who told you what the guns were.
Right. I remember that now.
Yeah, they didn't really give you many opportunities to talk to her. She was she was like the one character that, like unless you called her constantly, there was no reason to like even think about her. Like she shows up in one scene where they're like, "Hey, here's who you need to talk to about stuff," and then I can't remember her ever showing up in a story cutscene, any of the story codec conversations from that point onward.
Obviously two different characters, but I'm surprised they didn't pull the double duty and have her secretly be Sniper Wolf. That would have been fun. But yeah, Roy Campbell, and just all of the characters. I want to say it's rare, but for me sometimes in video games, it's rare that I like every single character. And set aside the initial, oh my god, you're only playing as Snake for like the first mission, and then the rest of it is this blonde-haired ninja kid who's going over oil fences and stuff in the second game. And like, after I got over that, I was like, "Oh, Snake's still around. He's Lieutenant J.G. Pliskin or whatever the hell he was, whatever." But yeah, just everybody that makes up this franchise is just so good.
Yeah, like as time went on, you know, they weren't all going to be winners. I'm looking at you, Skullface, but. Yeah, like the cast of the first two games, especially the first game, are like absolutely iconic casts.
So, anything else we want to say to kind of round this out for 25 years of Metal Gear Solid, sir? Anything you missed? Anything you haven't told us, like about your secret Metal Gear room inside your house or something?
I mean, I'm just the Metal Gear was my life. For a very specific period in time. Like, I mean, specifically the first game. It came out in 98. I had just been... I just started high school in 98. And it was a very interesting transition for me because I had no friends. Like, literally no friends. I when it was lunchtime, I went to the library because there was nobody for me to talk to. And my weekends consisted of Metal Gear. And so it holds a very specific place in my heart where instead of friends, I had Metal Gear. And, you know, time changed. Eventually, I made some great friends, some I still talk to this day. But, you know, it in a period of my life from 98 to maybe 2000 and well, yeah, probably 98 to 2000, Metal Gear Solid 1 was my entire life. And especially when my brother came home one day and was like, hey, I found this on a bench. Do you want it? And it was a Blockbuster video case of the VR missions. He just found it randomly. And he's like, here you go. Do you want this? And I was like, yes, I definitely want that. So, but yes, no, it's very, very easy for me to go back to this game and just be transported back to a time in my life. Like this game lives in my head rent free. Line deliveries will be with me till I die. You know, like I've forgotten more about my own life than I'll ever forget about this game. You know, like, yeah, it's a special game from a special time in my life, and finding out that it's 25 years old just makes me feel so old. But so
you were starting high school. I was getting ready to graduate high school the next year. So yeah, you think you're old? Step into my almost 40. Oh God, I'll be 44 in February.
Surprise.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh Lord. Yes, this game, everything about it is just so cool. Even to this day, you show the original PlayStation game to people and they'll be like, what is this? It's a masterpiece. End of story. All right, folks, I think we are going to go to a quick ad break. We're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Kept you waiting, huh?
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast, from the universe and beyond.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here inside Studio 2009. Before we get the heck out of here, I want to let you know what's coming up. I am on the march to figure out any and every anniversary I can from 1993 or 1998, 25th and 30th anniversary stuff for the end of this year, because the end of this year is coming up pretty damn fast. We are in the middle of November by the time this airs. Coming up in December, my buddy Dave and I did a Jurassic Park 30th anniversary, which I know you love.
Favorite movie of all time.
Favorite game, favorite movie. And then another friend of mine and I are going to revisit Armageddon from 1998 for its 25th anniversary. And then other friends are going to join me for Paycheck's 20th anniversary. And then we are going to end the year with continuing on with 12 months of Star Wars with Solo. So my buddy Dave is going to join me for that. We're going to be recording that coming up at the beginning of December. That will release the end of December. So that's what's coming up here inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. What have you got going on, sir? Or what haven't you got going on?
My time is spent between trying to find time to play video games and being a dad. And that's basically all of my time these days. So I am currently without any sort of special projects to promote. Although, if you really, really wanted to, the domains for Burt Popcorn, my nostalgia movie podcast, which has episodes about Armageddon and Jurassic Park, and Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, which is incredibly out of date at this point, which was a dad nerd podcast that neither are running at this moment. But hey, they have archives that still exist on the internet that if you wanted to go listen to them, there you go. There's your chance.
There you go, folks. Let me tell you, you need to start at the very beginning of Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, because there's nothing like hearing, you know, a podcast from the delivery room.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Spoiler, no spoiler.
episode 8 is the...
Yes.
Is the episode, yeah.
That's right. But yes, you can check all that out. I will have links in the post where you can go get those archived episodes and things like that. Mike, where can the people find you on social media?
Oh my God. I'm like completely off social media now. I have an X/Twitter account that's just Mike Laidman, but I have for my own mental health not been using it. I have an Instagram account that's just Mike Laidman that was completely destroyed by a viral Instagram reel that I did a silly video where I sang the Jurassic Park theme over the statue of an ugly dinosaur, and it exploded, and I cannot look at my Instagram account without being inundated with notifications for this video to this day, and it has been almost a year. It's insane. It completely ruined my Instagram account, but hey, it exists. So
it exists, and then there's also Mike Likes Games. Isn't there?
Yes, Mike Likes Games. Okay, which that's still me. That's me, and I do post there, but nowhere near as much as I used to.
Well, you know, if you need a mental health break from social media, obviously take the break. That's, you know,
exactly
that. So
it's great. Oh man, I was at the height of the pandemic, listening to all the crazies on Twitter. I had to get out of there.
Yeah, I don't. I've curated my Twitter so much that I don't even pay any attention to the crazies at all. Like, I refuse. Between Twitter and Facebook, I have exiled all craziness out of my social media life so I can have a fairly enjoyable existence. I'm on Threads barely. I tried to punch into the blue sky, but it's not the, I don't know, it's whatever, it is what it is. So that's going to do it for us, folks. As I said, coming up, all that stuff will be happening throughout the end of 2023. So for now, I'm TF2 and Mike with
Mike Laban.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
Ta-ta.
But I got to a place where I learned how to just drop it down to where my vocal cords would start to rumble on their own, and I can pretty much do this all day.
And a happy Metal Gear.